Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum.
Hoo-ah!
The Frontlines of Freedom team appreciate you joining us this fine day in America. We are proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. We're going to start by talking with Steve Wilson from PelpVet.net. Then we'll meet Army Colonel Tom Brewer, and we'll review the movie of the month with Diane Raver. Of course, we'll conclude with our military history and our self-defense report. Hey, it's a pleasure to welcome back to the show my good friend Steve Wilson from PelpVet.net. Steve's been helping vets for years. I don't even know how many years. Welcome, Steve.
Hi, Denny. How are you?
Awesome. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah, amen to that. It's a beautiful day in America. It's a good thing to be an American.
Thank you
so much for all you do, Denny. Thank you for getting the word out about the issues that are close to our heart when it comes to the veteran and military community. It's a pleasure to be back on. It's an honor to be back on with you, Denny.
Well, we're stuck with each other, Steve. We're friends and we've got too much in common. Okay, Steve, helpvet.net is an amazing concept. It touches a huge number of areas, and it really helps veterans and their families. You've told us about how it started. How does it work?
Well, everyone living in America, Denny, is a beneficiary of those that have served in the military, who have carried the burden and paid the price of keeping America safe. And considering their sacrifice, helpvet.net was formed to connect to those individuals and families and ask, how can we help? So it was founded to help local communities by working hand in hand with veterans, active military, and families, and a variety of local businesses, as well as local and national charities, to help address their toughest issues, including but not limited to veteran suicide, PTSD, traumatic brain injury, and also the financial responsibilities that they and their families bear. We often urge local businesses to champion these causes by supporting our efforts and providing their professional services to all vets, active military, and families through helpvet.net. All veterans, active military, and families deserve free access to vital information and invaluable resources that affect their lives both economically and socially that meet their daily needs. So by creating relationships between local businesses as well as the veteran and military community and the families, we show our support for the over 18 million veterans and countless family members, I believe it's just under 139 million, Denny, that have sacrificed for the freedoms we Americans so easily take for granted. And the tremendous byproduct of community revitalization is realized as local business grows, so does the local economy, which supports the ideals of better schools, better roads, higher property values, and just a better quality of life for all Americans.
That makes sense, Steve. It really does. And one of the things I appreciate about helpvet.net is that you're there to support veterans. I've got a friend who's a veteran who he served between wars. He never served in combat or anything. He says, I'm not even really a veteran. And I said, dude, you made yourself available to defend our nation. It wasn't your job to start a war. You're as much a veteran as I am. And I believe that he is. And the fact that HelpVet is there for all veterans, to me, is really important.
Well, what's really wonderful about what we do have direct involvement. We have these business cards. And on the card, it's got our name. It's got a little bit about us. It's got our mission on the back, telling people that we do provide resources, benefits. We help them find jobs. We have so many different programs, discounted services, updated news and information. Those cards are hand-delivered to the VFW posts, to the American Legion halls, to the VA hospitals. Inside every VA hospital is what they call a vet center. So America thinks that everybody that serves is entitled to benefits through the VA. And Denny, you and I both know that's not true. I believe out of the 18 million, approximately 50% are the ones that are entitled to most of the benefits that the VA provides or limited. But there are so many millions that might have served a day. They might have served a couple of months. Maybe it was an other than honorable discharge. Maybe they don't have enough points. They didn't serve enough time. Well, the reality is anybody puts on that uniform for a day, or if they get buried at a ripe old age of 100 years old in that uniform, is somebody who writes a blank check payable for the amount up to and including their life for this country and every family that lives in it. I think a lot of this country has lost sight of that. We still live in the greatest country in the world, and there's more opportunity here than anywhere else on the face of this earth. But I think the greatest attribute, Denny, of being an American is our freedom. And that freedom gives everyone the right to get up each day, work really hard, and try to keep that roof over their head, clothing on their back, food on their tables, become stable, and even some independently wealthy, all because of people like you that were willing to run into the fire and give up your life for total strangers like me. To me and to HealthEd, there is no greater honor. And I think a lot of this country has forgotten that. And HealthEd is on the forefront of trying to tell people, you know, what you guys deserve and try to provide it in every step of the way, whether it be through you, your family. So those cards are given out to veterans, and we bridge the gap between families that get benefits and don't get benefits. So when they get a card through the VA Vet Center, they contact us. We help them find counseling. We help them find attorneys. We help them with aid and attendance. We help guide with benefits. We walk with you through the maze to get you to the other side when others won't. And all this is done gratis. It's all free. You deserve more than what this country is providing to you. And that's how we feel.
And it clearly works because you've been doing this for years. And I don't even know how many thousands of people have benefited from it. But and the business people who step up to assist you by providing these services, that gives them a way to serve their country too, doesn't it?
Absolutely. But we're very careful with the organizations. We vet people out. We vet businesses out to the nth degree. Because the only people that we want to put your hands in the local market are individuals that we would send our own mom or kids to. See, HealthEd was created to be the nation's leading independent veteran resource center. And there are sponsorship programs that offer business sponsors exclusive placement with HealthEd. It enables the business sponsor the ability to have their information services available to millions of veterans and their families within the military community. We were founded on the philosophy of providing free services to all of the veteran and military community. We're committed to helping the local community address the fight and fight our nation's toughest issues. Like I said earlier, PTSD, traumatic brain injuries, and suicide. What the American public doesn't think about, they hear the number of how many are estimated to commit suicide each month, each day, but you never hear about the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds that try, and thank God they're not successful. So what do you do for them? And we try to pick up the pieces. We dive into the volcano with you. We hold on for dear life. And we try to get you the help that you need in any way, shape, or form that will better your and your family's lives.
So for the people listening to us who haven't received one of your business cards, how do they plug in to helpvet.net?
Well, the easiest way is just send us an email. The best email is support@helpvet.net. Again, that's support@helpvet.net. Tell us what your issues are. Tell us what your needs are. And we'll hop on it and we'll walk through it with you and try to get you the best services and best solutions for your daily life needs. And if we can't, we'll guide you to people that can. So support@helpvet.net. Our toll-free number is also on the bottom of the page. And if you want to speak to me directly, just put a little note in there that you'd like to speak to Steve, and I'll be more than happy to contact you back.
Steve, that is awesome. You've been doing this for years. I'm proud that we've been able to work together and getting that word out. So listeners, whether you need the help or not, share the contact information with other veterans you might know, just so that they can have it if they need it, or share it with other veterans they know. There's no bottom to this. We just need to get the word out into the hands of all veterans and families.
Yeah, Denny, people don't know what they don't know, and we educate them to the best of our abilities. If they need help in this market with like a certified financial fiduciary that has your best interest in mind, we can align you with them. If you need help in regards to mortgages, refi, whatever it might be, real estate, if you need help finding medical, whatever it might be, give us a call or send us an email, and we'll work as hard as we can to find you the best services locally in your own backyard, services that the VA doesn't provide you help for. So, Denny, I just want to thank you again. God bless you. God bless this country. God bless every soul that has ever put on that uniform to support you, I, and the freedoms and ideals that this country was built upon. God bless you, and God bless America.
Steve, thank you. I'm proud that we're friends. Thanks for taking time to join us today, and thank you for your service to our nation's veterans and their families. I appreciate you, bro.
I appreciate you as well. I look forward to the next time we speak, Denny. God bless you, and take care.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with Colonel Tom Brewer, who's also a state senator. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. It's time to run hard for a couple of miles. Troops, do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. I'll be right back. Day 3 Creation is a Christian family-owned provider of American-made, non-intoxicating, non-addictive CBD products. Our Get Relief, Give Relief program sees that 10% of all profits go to Patriot Paws providing service dogs at no cost to disabled veterans to help restore their physical and emotional independence. Giving is an expression of our thankfulness and praise to God as we recognize that everything we have belongs to the Lord. Visit day3creation.com to learn more. God bless.
Fresh, flash, frozen from the American farmer every time. PatriotFoods.com, hit the shop now button. You're supporting a veteran family in need every time you shop. Look at us online, see how we give back. For the servicemen and women of this great country, we are fighting for the American farmer. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM, 10% off today, folks. Shop now.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I buy Patriot Foods. It's great. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. Folks, I joined Barry Law for their celebration of Memorial Day in Omaha, Nebraska. And while there, I met Tom Brewer, a retired Army colonel, now a state senator in Nebraska. And he's done some really interesting things and planning to do more. So welcome to the show, Tom.
Thank you, sir. Good to be here.
Tom, you joined Mother Army. When, why, to do what? What did you do?
I think my story was like so many. I wanted to go to college, didn't have enough money, and there was an opportunity to go into the National Guard and be able to get tuition assistance and still get paid to do my weekend drills. And so I did that. And then what I thought would be 6-year tour and gone, I found out I kind of liked wearing the uniform and liked doing the interesting stuff. And so after the first enlistment, I went to college, got a commission. So I started in the field artillery. And then after I got commissioned, went in the infantry. And once I went in the infantry, they sent me off to learn how to jump out of airplanes and then off to ranger school and pathfinder and air assault. And so the more schools I did, the more I was kind of addicted to it. And the next thing you know, 36 years had went by.
You know, it's crazy how that happens, isn't it?
It does. And for some reason, you don't feel that old, but sometimes you wake up and your body feels that old.
You know, I often say that sometimes there's a struggle going on. It's my ego versus my body.
The body wins.
And if it doesn't, you pay later.
It does.
But, you know, there's nothing hard about jumping out of airplanes unless they're in the air.
Yeah, well, there's a lot I'm saying. I understand why anybody jump out of a perfectly good airplane. And, of course, the old argument was always that the Air Force didn't have any perfectly good airplanes. So a guy should learn how to jump out of them in case you need to.
And my brother-in-law was a pilot for many years. And I said, also, the face of the guy says he's going to land safely. Anyway, so you spent 30 years.
36 altogether.
And when it was over, you weren't active duty all that time, were you?
A mix of National Guard, Army Reserve, and active duty. So okay. It was a little everything.
What did you do job-wise when you were a part-timer?
I worked out west at a local farmer's co-op, just doing kind of a normal job there, cattle feeding and things like that, and worked as a police officer. You know, once I got to doing the military thing, was pretty much, for most of those 30-some years, pretty busy with it because even when I was M-Day, I went to flight school after I spent time in the infantry. And so, you know, if you're a helicopter pilot in the Army National Guard, between your additional flight requirements and your additional schooling and your additional duties that they have you do, whether it be firefighting or whatever, there's not a lot of time left.
You know, I believe that totally. And at some point, you found out that you didn't have much to do, so you decided to get into politics and run for the local government state senate?
Well, that wasn't necessarily, I guess what you'd say, my doing. I was wounded in 2012, and it took a couple of years to rebuild me. So I'd spent some time in a facility called Madonna in Lincoln, Nebraska, and it was one that could do kind of a total care thing. So like this thumb had been blown loose. And they had to reattach it, and they had to dig trap lounge and do different things. And so each surgery, you would have to go and you'd have physical therapy, or you'd have occupational therapy, or you'd have speech therapy for the traumatic brain injury. And so, you know, all these things kind of ate up about 2 years of my life. Well, at the same time, the Army is like, you know what, appreciate all the time you've given us, but you're no longer worldwide deployable, so we're going to put you out to pasture. Well, that's kind of an empty feeling when you know, your kind of life is a military, and then all of a sudden it's gone. So I went and worked with a wounded warrior program in Montana, working with wounded veterans, equine program, teaching them how to ride, how to pack horses into the mountains, and how to survive in the mountains, navigate without a compass, start fires without matches, you know, all these kind of things, more traditional Native American like skills.
Yes.
Did that. And while I was doing that, they called me and said, listen, the person who's representing Western Nebraska is a horrible representative. He doesn't do what he promised he would do. And we want someone to run against him. And we think you're the right guy. And I said, listen, guys, I've not done any politics, done anything about it. He said, well, throw your hat in the ring, see how you do in the primary. So literally the last possible day you could enter the race in March, I entered it. And a month and a half later in May, there's a primary. Well, this guy's an incumbent. He'd been there 4 years. He was a multimillionaire. And I put no money into the campaign. I went to a few sales, sale barns for like cattle and stuff. But overall, didn't really do a whole lot. But a lot of the people in Western Nebraska knew me from my military career. And lo and behold, I beat him by over 1,000 votes. So I decided, well, maybe I do have a legitimate chance. What I didn't realize, though, is when you do that, you unleash their money against you. And so the next few months was pretty rough. He owned the radio, he owned the television, he owned the newspapers. So as we get into September, they said, listen, you're down 10 points in the poll. You probably are going to have to do something or else you're not going to win. And some of the wounded veterans that I'd worked with said, well, why don't we do what we did in Montana? Why don't we ride your district on horses and mules? So we did. So we started, and it was 500 miles to ride around my district. And so we spent the next month and a half riding around to all these little towns that might only have a few hundred people. And then we would sleep in the city park on the ground. We'd have essentially picnics. Ladies in the community would bring food. And so town after town, day after day, we went from down 10 points to up 10 points and ended up winning the election in November. And he spent about $500,000 and I spent about $40,000. So that's kind of the story with how I got into politics. And then, of course, once you had the tiger by the tail, then you had to go and actually do it. And And so once I got in and they realized my military background and all, they had nominated me to be the chair of the Government Military and Veterans Affairs Committee, which was a great fit. Understood the need. And then it works directly with the National Guard to make sure they have all the things they need. So I pushed and was able to get detaxing and military retirement for military personnel and was able to get free hunting and fishing licenses for military personnel. And so I kind of used the job to say thanks to those that I wore the uniform with.
Wow. That's got to be, it's got to look good in your rearview mirror and it's got to be a challenge as you look forward.
Well, the only mistake I probably made is that after 4 years, they said, well, you rode the district the first time. You'll do it again, won't you? And I'm like, well, yeah, I guess I will. So a year ago, we went and we relived this adventure. And this time we came with more folks and a better plan. And we didn't live town to town. You know, sometimes we'd show up and it was whatever food we had at the time was about all we had to eat. And so we were a little more financed, a little better prepared, and it was a better experience the second time around. But I'm kind of glad I'm termed out because I'm not sure I got another 500-mile ride in me.
Wow. It's got to feel good to see that you're appreciated by the people that you were supporting because you really were supporting them.
Well, I think they came to the conclusion that if you're someone who will sleep on the ground and ride a mule that distance, you're probably going to do what you say you're going to do. And so I felt obligated to make sure I did do exactly what I said I was going to do. And I think we've been very successful in a lot of the fights that we've had out there to stop things that were wrong that were going on. But I also didn't want to forget about all the veterans. And so we this next year, we'll be doing, you know, more veterans initiatives to try and do things to help veterans. And so, that part is very rewarding.
I'm sure it is. And you plan to take a trip out of the country sometime soon.
Well, I had 8 tours, 2 to Kyrgyzstan and 6 to Afghanistan. And I kind of maybe got the bug to do this, I guess what you call train the trainer kind of work, which is what I did a lot of. When I first got to Afghanistan, that was our job. It was then a 3rd Special Forces Group that was training the Afghan National Army. Well, to a degree, they're having a similar situation right now in the Ukraine. They're being given lots of NATO equipment, but nobody can cross into the Ukraine to train them. Well, no Ukrainian males can leave the Ukraine if you're between 18 and 60. So now you have this standoff where here's the equipment, here's the need to be trained, and the two can't get together. And I think it's wrong-headed in the sense that I think that they should figure out a way to get advisors to the Ukrainians to help them so they can be prepared. But part of what we're going to be doing is going into the Ukraine to help them with, I've got some medical kits that we put together. And these would be like immediate trauma triage kits. So your tourniquets, your Israeli bandages, all this shrink wrapped into a package. And I can hand that to you and you put it in your vest and you got it. Right now, they don't have those. And there's guys bleeding to death just because they don't have the basics. So we're going to be bringing those forward. We're going to be getting the stories of what's happening there and see if there isn't lessons learned and then find out what the problems are. How can we help them defeat the Russians? Because if they do the job for us, we may not ever have to worry about doing it.
And they want to do it.
They do.
And let's help them.
And there's no love loss. And there's a good reason why there's no love loss if you study history and what the Ukrainians have been through and how the Russians have treated them over the years.
Yeah, the story of Russia in Ukraine, historically, but also particularly in the last few months, is outrageous.
It is. And if you think about the high probability that a good share of the world may starve because of what's happening with the ports in Mariupol and Odessa being blocked and the grain not able to get out. And they said, well, move it by rail. But you got to remember that the only way they're moving people and equipment into the Ukraine and out of the Ukraine is on rail lines, because right now there's no diesel fuel to even move the regular vehicles around. So the Russians have hit the fuel farms, they've hit the refineries, and so this rail line is now being hit by the cruise missiles. So now the only artery to get in and out of the country is being severed by the Russians, and they can't even get the wheat out. And 70-some percent of the wheat that goes into Africa comes out of the Ukraine. Well, what's going to happen? There's going to be lots of people that will die of hunger because of what the Russians are doing.
And all we can do, we should do, to help that be resolved in a positive way. Wow, Tom, I wish we could keep this going on, but I know you're going there in a couple of weeks. Thank you, brother. Thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service on active duty. Thank you for your service now. And God bless you on this trip. That's got to be a truly important and maybe history-changing trip. Thank you for going.
Well, Denny, thank you for taking the time to let me share some of this, and thank you for your service.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival as we review the movie of the month. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm twice, then take a break. But stay in the area, because I'll be right back.
This hour of Frontlines of Freedom is brought to you by HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net is an online resource and information center dedicated to the welfare of those who have sacrificed for the freedoms, ideals, and morals we Americans hold dear to our hearts. At HelpVet.net, find information on benefit-related issues from education, healthcare, military pay, retirement, VA loans, and resources on education, finance, legal, health and wellness, the military life, moving and housing, travel and entertainment, and much, much more. Visit HelpVet.net, HelpVet.net.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. It's a great pleasure to welcome back Diane Raver, the Frontlines of Freedom team member from the Garden State Film Festival. She finds interesting films for us every month, and I think she's about recovered from the film festival that ended 2 months ago or so. Welcome back, Diane. Are you back to normal?
I am, Denny. I'm back to my old self. Thank you for asking. It was quite remarkable. Everybody came out in person again. And of course, we were delighted to see that. Thank you for having me this morning. Of course, it's always an honor and a privilege.
Hey, we're friends and teammates. How much better can it get? Our Kind of Love, the movie for this month, not a lot of people were able to see it because my website was sort of messed up. What attracted you to it?
Well, it's a sweet film. And again, our goal is to get people thinking. And it's about military. Our films are basically about military or other things of interest to your listeners, but also about international affairs. And I thought it was a sweet story about different cultures and how they handle different situations. I mean, we in the West don't pay much attention to arranged marriages, but it's still very common in the rest of the world. And it was a sweet film to see how tradition collides with, you know, modern day society.
Indeed, it does. And your point's really well taken. We Americans reasonably think everybody else is like us, but we're very different than much of the rest of the world. And particularly when you get into the third world.
Exactly. And different cultures and religions and all that stuff have different traditions, which they still hold to, despite what we consider modern. And who's to say who's right or wrong? I mean, you know, they have wonderful, long, happy marriages with some arranged marriages. So,
yeah, it's pretty awkward to say my culture is better than your culture.
I would say yes.
Now,
I would agree
with that. If somebody's culture involves killing people, okay, well, I could put that part down.
Yes.
But marriages and eating and all the, there's so many different ways. Anyway, this was a very gentle transition. So, as I said, we only had a couple of responses from listeners, but the first comment was, gee, I saw a fish swimming in a tank in a restaurant. Yeah. And then a lovely Afghan lady sitting at a table in a restaurant. She's joined by a man who is apparently an Afghan, but he lives in London. And she apparently has been in London for a few days or a week. Interesting situation.
Right. Well, obviously, she came to because of the arranged marriage. She would not have traveled to London without that pre-arranged.
Of course, that's not obvious at this point in the movie. There's just this nice looking lady sitting there and his guy joins her.
Right.
It could have been anything, but it quickly shows that this is their first meeting. And I can't even imagine going to a restaurant and introducing myself to some lady that I'm going to marry that I've never seen before, nor has
right.
she seen me.
But again, as we said, it's more common in other cultures than
oh, yeah.
I think. Yeah.
And apparently she speaks no English. So she says that she'll have whatever he has on the menu. He tells a joke. She doesn't get it. Culture issues. He invites her to take off her head cover, but she doesn't want to, so she doesn't. What I thought was funny, personally, was she mentions that there must be a lot of thieves here, as many people have dogs.
Right.
He laughs and explains pets, again, a culture thing.
Right.
This is so much about culture, and neither one is right or wrong. It's just different. And understanding that is part of understanding the world we live in, right?
I agree 100%.
Then he gets a call on his cell phone, which he ignores at first, but then he leaves the table to take it. And that's when the...
That's wherein lies the rub.
It does. And in one respect, I didn't see anything about that, because at that point, it wasn't clear what their meeting was exactly. It looked like it was apparently a date. And then he had ordered sushi, and then it came, and she wasn't sure how to eat it. But Oriental lady saw her confusion and role modeled how to eat sushi with chopsticks. That was fun. And that yeah. is also just good people helping other people and letting other people help them.
Yeah, there are good people in the world, and we have to remember that, especially in lieu of current events.
And then it happens. She goes to look at the fish tank. He hears her talking. It's obviously a woman that he is, I guess, breaking up with. And they have a little confrontation. And then it becomes clear that she came to London to marry him, the arranged marriage. They discuss the way, the Afghan way and the English way of getting a spouse. Her hand is on the table. He reaches out and touches her hand. She pulls away. He asks, can we start over again?
Yeah, I thought it was sweet.
That was awesome. And from the looks on her face, the answer was going to be yes, but we don't know.
Right.
So, and it was a really fine orientation, not just to the Afghan culture, but to many, many in the Middle East. That's a common situation.
Exactly.
And it's part of the world we live in. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, where we're reviewing the movie of the month with Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival. Diane, we've got a couple of minutes. Talk about the film festival and how people can plug in, because frankly, it's time to start thinking about plugging in, isn't it?
Well, also, if you know a filmmaker, a composer, or an actor, our call for entries is open right now. It stays open till the 1st of November. So the films are pouring in. Please tell them to submit at gsff.org. gsff.org.
Now, the movie of the month, we've picked that for next month. August movie of the month is The Paperboy. This, too, was a movie earlier this year during the time when our website was down. I trust you'll enjoy it. Thank you, Diane, for your wonderful efforts as a member of the Frontlines of Freedom team. I love the movies. I love our times talking about it. This is great.
Well, it's my greatest honor and privilege.
Troops, if you're a veteran who's having trouble getting your disability approved by the VA, contact Barry Law. You can reach them at ptsdlawyers.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You've reported for duty to Frontlines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some push-ups. Maybe 53 this time. We need to be Ranger ready. Then stand at ease.
We were instrumental in passing the VA Mission Act so more veterans could have options and freedom in their health care.
We are leading the charge to end America's endless wars, bringing thousands of troops home and stopping trillions of dollars from being wasted.
Our key to success?
You. We bring your voice to leaders calling the shots so we can all have a better future. We are Concerned Veterans for America, the voice of veterans for freedom and prosperity.
Visit cv4a.org to learn more and join the movement.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I really welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or do it on Facebook. Skip, what's the first one?
Well, Pete, a Navy vet, plans to buy a copy of Skip's book on self-defense. And Colonel, I got to tell you, Pete sounds like a very smart individual.
Even though he was in the Navy.
down, Army, down.
Well, Pete, you'll be glad you did.
And Sam, a Marine vet, really liked the Battle of the Month. He'll be looking forward to that interview every single month.
I really enjoyed it too, Sam. I enjoy learning, particularly about things that I'm interested in. And now it's time for military history. Take us there, Skip. What's first?
Well, on August 1st, 1864, Union General Ulysses Grant appointed General Philip Sheridan commander of the Army of the Shenandoah. Within a few months, Sheridan drove a Confederate force from the Shenandoah Valley and destroyed nearly all possible sources of rebel supplies, helping to seal the fate of the Confederacy. Although this victory is not as famous as General William Sherman's march through Georgia, which took place at the same time, it may have been even more complete. The Shenandoah Valley, so important throughout the war, was rendered useless to the Confederacy by the end of the fall.
And on 2 August 1909, what would become the Army Air Corps, and ultimately the Air Force, was formed as the Army Signal Corps took its first delivery from the Wright brothers.
And on August 1st, 1914, World War I began. 4 days after Austria-Hungary declared war on Serbia, Germany and Russia declared war against each other, France ordered a general mobilization, and the first German army units crossed into Luxembourg in preparation for the German invasion of France. During the next 3 days, Russia, France, Belgium, and Great Britain all lined up against Austria, Hungary, and Germany, and the German army invaded Belgium. The Great War that ensued was one of unprecedented destruction and loss of life, resulting in the deaths of some 20 million soldiers and civilians. On June 28, 1914, Archduke Franz Ferdinand, heir to the Austro-Hungarian Empire, was shot to death by Bosnian Serb Gavrilo Princip in Sarajevo, Bosnia. Austria-Hungary blamed the Serbian government. On July 28, Austria-Hungary declared war on Serbia. On July 29, Austro-Hungarian forces began to shell the Serbian capital, and Russia, Serbia's ally, ordered a troop mobilization against Austria-Hungary. France, allied with Russia, began to mobilize, and France and Germany declared war against each other on August 3rd. After crossing through neutral Luxembourg, the German army invaded Belgium, prompting Great Britain, Belgium's ally, to declare war against Germany. In 1918, the infusion of American troops and resources finally tipped the scale in the Allies' favor. Bereft of manpower and supplies and faced with an imminent invasion, Germany signed an armistice agreement with the Allies in November 1918. World War I was known as the War to End All Wars because of the great slaughter and destruction it caused. Unfortunately, the peace treaty that officially ended the conflict forced punitive terms on Germany that destabilized Europe and laid the groundwork for World War II.
That was certainly a confusing start to that war, wasn't it?
Yeah, what a cluster.
Okay, on 4 August 1914, as World War I erupted in Europe, President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the neutrality of the U.S., a position the vast majority of Americans favored. However, Wilson's hope that America could be impartial in thought as well as action was soon compromised by Germany's attempted quarantine of the British Isles, because Britain was one of America's closest trading partners, and tension rose between the U.S. and Germany when several U.S. ships traveling to Britain were damaged or sunk by German mines. In February 1915, Germany announced unrestricted warfare against all ships, neutral or otherwise, that entered the war zone around Britain. In late March, Germany sunk four more U.S. merchant ships, and on April 2nd, President Wilson appeared before Congress to call for a declaration of war against Germany. America formally entered World War I. On June 26, the first 14,000 U.S. infantry troops landed in France to begin training for combat. Yeah, they needed training. They weren't ready to fight. The entrance of our well-supplied forces was a major turning point. When the fighting finally entered on November 11, 1918, over 2 million American soldiers had served on the battlefields of Western Europe, and some 50,000 had lost their lives.
On August 1, 1943, during World War II, a Japanese destroyer rammed American PT boat number 109, slicing it in two. The destruction is so massive, other American PT boats in the area assumed the crew was dead. Two crewmen were killed, but 11 survived, including Lieutenant John Kennedy. The crew made it to a coral island, but Kennedy stayed out in the deep water for several hours, hoping that a rescue craft would come by, but nothing happened. Then they swam to a larger island. They met with two natives from the island who agreed to take a message south. Kennedy carved the distress message into a coconut shell. The message reached Lieutenant Arthur Evans, who was watching the coast of Gomu Island, located next to an island occupied by the Japanese. Kennedy and his crew were paddled to Gomu. A PT boat then took them. Kennedy was ultimately awarded the Navy and Marine Corps Medal. The coconut shell used to deliver this message found a place in history and in the Oval Office.
And on 5 August 1945, during World War II, on Tinan, at about 2:10 in the morning, seven American aircraft took off for Japan. One of the aircrafts is the specially modified B-29 Super Fortress, the Enola Gay, carrying the, quote, little boy atomic bomb, and was headed for Hiroshima.
And on August 1, 1957, the U.S. and Canada reached agreement to create the North American Air Defense Command, NORAD.
And on 2 August 1990, Iraq invaded Kuwait, seizing control of the oil-rich emirate. The day became known in Kuwait as Black Thursday. 330 Kuwaitis died during the occupation and war, Saddam Hussein, the leader of Iraq, took over Kuwait. President Bush led an international coalition for sanctions and a demand for withdrawal. The Iraqis were later driven out in Operation Desert Storm. And that's military history for today. Now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, Skip.
All of us here at Front Lines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Navy veteran Whitfield Smith grabbed his AR-15 rifle after spotting prowlers outside his Georgia home in the middle of the night last week. A furious shootout erupted as he headed towards his driveway to get a closer look. Much of the scary encounter was captured on surveillance video. Three intruders fired 24 times at Smith as he retreated back to his house. The BMW and pickup truck in his driveway were both riddled with bullet holes. In an interview later, Smith was quoted as saying, "I don't want to die in my home. I survived Afghanistan and elsewhere. To die in my home, in my own yard?" The intruders fled with a laptop computer and a firearm stolen from Smith's car. No one was hurt in the encounter.
Thanks, Colonel. I find this incident disturbing for several reasons. First, let's talk about where this shootout occurred. It was in the suburbs, 30 minutes south of Atlanta. This was a quiet neighborhood with a history of very low crime. The idea that a military-style firefight could occur here should be an unthinkable thing, but that just isn't the case anymore. The bottom line is this: violent crime is spilling out away from our major cities and into the suburbs. Second, let's look at some crime data from the FBI, comparing the crime rate over the last 10 years. In our big cities, the overall crime rate has increased by 12%. Murder and manslaughter increased by 26%. Rape increased by a whopping 38%, and aggravated assault by 29%. So violent crime in our big cities is definitely on the rise. But here's an added twist. While violent crimes have dramatically increased, property crimes have declined by 23%. It used to be that criminals just wanted to rob you to get your stuff, but now they want to hurt you or even kill you. That's a big problem. Third, the attack against this sleepy suburb was coordinated and well organized. While these three criminals lacked the formal military training of our Navy vet, they didn't hesitate to stand up to him in his own front yard. They tried their best to kill Mr. Smith, even though he was brandishing an AR-15 rifle. These types of attacks are becoming more common, and criminals appear to be more bold and brazen than ever. So, what does all this mean, and how should we meet the rising threat? Well, here are a few things you can do to prepare. First, get trained and get armed. I know I tell you this every week, but people keep resisting. As police are defunded, and as the economy declines, violent crime will continue to rise. You can't get too much training. Second, organize a neighborhood watch. Get to know your neighbors so you don't have to fight alone like Mr. Smith did. Third, up your security game. Install security cameras, motion sensor lighting, and put alarms on all your windows and doors. Harden your home against crime. And fourth, maintain a heightened state of awareness. I understand that people live in the suburbs because it's a safe and pleasant experience, but times are changing and so should you. Stay alert so that you're not blindsided by violent criminals. Well, this Navy vet was certainly brave, but he was overwhelmed by three determined attackers who were hell-bent on killing him. Nonetheless, he survived and was able to repel the attack and send them packing. Front Lines of Freedom salutes this Navy vet from the suburbs for his bravery and determination in defending his family and his castle.
Wow. Our movie of the month is One Kind of Love. We just reviewed it. You can go to the Front Lines of Freedom website, go to the blog and get the link. You can watch it for free the rest of this weekend. Next week on Front Lines of Freedom, former Space Force Lieutenant Colonel Matt Lohmeyer will discuss his current situation. He's always doing something good for our nation. Then we'll review General Chris Petty's wonderful book, 12 Battles Every American Should Know. Next, we'll meet Army National Guardsman Jeff Hayden, and Chris Whitmore will discuss veteran treatment courts. Our book, Front Lines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. You can purchase that book at frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information that you will not get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.